I'd just like to read three verses of Scripture. The first in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. He is the rock, his work is perfect. Turn over, please, to the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. And verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And finally, in the little book of James, the little book of James, chapter 1, and verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Just the first line of that verse. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Now we know the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his precious word. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Our 32 that we read from is a song of Moses. And in that song, he tells of the goodness of God to the children of Israel. How that he provided a country for them. What he did for them in the wilderness and in the land of Canaan. It also tells us of the sins of the children of Israel against God. How they lightly esteemed the word of salvation. How they set up other gods and saviors. And how they continued sacrificing when they should not. And then it tells us of God's judgment upon them. How that they were abhorred by God. How they were rejected by him. And how that he brought judgment upon them. But it was a little verse 4 that has been on my mind tonight that I would like to speak about. And I have three little points that I'd like to leave with you. Verse 4 says, he is the rock, his work is perfect. First of all, I'd like us to think tonight of the perfect work of God. Then we read in Acts chapter 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'd like us to think tonight of a perfect way. Then in James we read, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. That just simply means the perfect word of God. The perfect work, a perfect way, and a perfect word. When we think of God's perfect work, we think of two. His perfect work of creation and his perfect work of redemption. When we think of his creation, we go right back to the very beginning of our Bible. And there we read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In chapter 1 it tells us of how he brought the moon and the stars into being. How he created the fish in the sea. How he made the beasts of the field. How he made the fowls of the air. And over again, four times, there's a little refrain in that chapter. It says that God saw that it was good. Then we read of how he made man. And we read, God saw that it was very good. It said that God rested on the seventh day of all his works. It says he formed man from the dust of the ground. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. It says man became a living soul. I want you to think about that tonight, dear friend, in the meeting. Man became a living soul. A soul that would never die. A soul that would live throughout eternity. Each and every one of us here in this meeting tonight, we have a soul. And that soul that we have is going to live forever. The Word of God tells us in one place or the other, in heaven or in hell. Sometimes we sing with the boys and girls in the Sunday school, I have a soul to be saved. May this truth be engraved on my heart and my mind while I'm young. Oh, how awful the cost if my soul should be lost, and in hell if I die as I am. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Tells us that God planted a garden in the east of Eden. And there he placed Adam and Eve. And he told Adam, of all the trees in the garden, thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree in the midst of the garden, a tree of knowledge and of good and evil, God says, Adam, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we know what happened. We read that Eve was deceived by Satan, and that she took of the fruit and she gave to Adam. And Adam disobeyed God. Romans chapter 5 tells us, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, death is passed upon all men. For all have sinned. Also in Romans 5 we read, because of one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Because of Adam's sin, because of his disobedience against God, you and I were born into this world a sinner. God cast them both out of the garden. The communion and the fellowship that Adam had with God was broken. And as we read on through the chapters, it's not long until we read of the result of sin. In chapter 4 we read of how Adam had two sons, Cain and Abel. One was a tiller of the ground, the other was a shepherd. And we read that they brought their offerings to God. Cain's offering was off the ground. Abel's offering was the firstling of a flock. God was well pleased with Abel's offering. It says Cain was wroth. We read that they were talking in the field, and Cain rose up and slayed his brother, the result of sin. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. If we read on in chapter 6 and verse 5, there we read of the days of Noah. God looked down, he saw the sin and the wickedness of man. It says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of thought and of his heart was evil continually, a result of sin. There's really not much difference from then on, right up until this very day. Sin is in the world. But thank God tonight that God had a plan. Sometimes we sing, O wondrous grace that found a plan to rescue guilty fallen man and ease him of his load, and find a ransom in the Son to save the guilty, lost and done, and meet the claims of God. What a wonderful plan God had. A wonderful plan in eternity past. In Genesis chapter 22, there we read the story of Abraham and Isaac, and how that God tested Abraham. And he said, Abraham, take thy son, thine only son Isaac, into a land that I will show thee of, and there offer him up for a sacrifice. It says Abraham rose up. It says on the third day Abraham rose up, and he looked, and he saw the place afar off. Abraham woke up that morning, and he looked away in the distance, and he could see the place where he was to sacrifice his son. God in eternity past looked forward to Calvary, and he could see Calvary. God could say, one day I'm going to send my son, my only son, to that place called Calvary, and there he's going to die for the sin of the world. We read on how that Abraham looked behind him, and he saw a ram caught in a thicket. That little ram was taken in the place of Isaac and offered upon the altar. The Lord Jesus Christ took your place and my place upon Calvary's cross, and suffered and bled and died for sinners such as we. He was a perfect man. The word of God tells us that he was holy, he was harmless, he was undefiled, he was separate from sinners. Peter tells us that he left us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously. And then listen to the next verse. who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. What a Saviour we have tonight, dear friends, to tell you of. One who came. One who was a perfect man. One who suffered and bled and died for you and for me. Everything that he did and suffered was for you and for me. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 tells us that he was born for us. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Not only was he born for us, but in Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 we read that he became poor for us. You know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Not only did he become poor for us, but as we've already heard, he lived for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. And finally, not only did he live for us, but he died for us upon the cross of Calvary. The perfect work of God. The perfect work of creation and the perfect work of redemption. And just think tonight, dear friend, as we leave this little subject, the one who made all things. John tells us all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The one who made all things. God's word tells us that he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He was made a curse for us. Cursed is every one that hangeth upon a tree. He was made sin for us. He who knew no sin. What a wonderful Saviour we have tonight. A perfect man. And a perfect work. Tonight, dear friend, as we sit in this meeting and listen to his word, would you not put your faith and trust in him, the man of Calvary, who put away your sin by the sacrifice of himself? In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, we read of a perfect way. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. He could say himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The psalmist in Psalm 62 and verse 2, he says, he only is my rock and my salvation. In verse 7, he says, in God is my salvation. Isaiah says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The perfect way. But Proverbs tells us, 14 and verse 2, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's many ways being tried in our world today. There's the way of religion. There's the way of good works. There's the way of church attendance. Proverbs says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We sing with the boys and girls, one way God said to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. One way to reach those pearly mansions, Jesus, is the only way. No other way. No other way. No other way to go. One way, God said, to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. If you're depending upon your good works, your church attendance, the Word of God says it's not enough. Jesus is the only way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What are you trying tonight to get you to heaven? Are you depending on your good works? Or are you depending upon the work of Calvary? There's only one way. We live in a world today where we hear so much of different religions. The Muslim, he can go to the tomb of Muhammad, and there lies his bones. The Buddhist can go to the tomb of Buddha, and there lies his bones. The Christian can go to the tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ and hear these words: He is not here. He is risen. Come and see a man, place where the Lord lay. Tonight, dear friend, we have a risen, glorified Savior. He's the only Savior. The little book of Jude says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, dominion, and power forevermore. There's only one Savior. It's the perfect way through our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, in James chapter 1, there we read, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the simply the perfect word of God. This book that I read from tonight is the perfect word of God. It guides us. It instructs us. It's never out of date. It's never out of touch. And it's never out of context. It's the perfect word of God. It tells us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. But it would be wrong for me tonight to stand here and to not warn you. Not only does it instruct us and guide us, but it warns us of a place called hell. Luke chapter 16 tells us of a rich man who fared sumptuously every day. There was a man called Lazarus lay at his table full of sores. It says that the rich man died. And Lazarus died. And the rich man also died. Lazarus was carried into Abraham's bosom. And of the rich man it says, he opened up his eyes in hell, being in torment. What an awful place, dear friend. If you miss God's salvation, if you miss God's offer of mercy, and be found lost in hell for all eternity. After listening tonight to God's word of a perfect work and of a perfect way, your opportunity, the opportunity for you tonight is still here. All you simply have to do is come and put your faith and trust in him and be saved for time and for eternity. What a tragedy it would be if you were to miss God's salvation and to open your eyes and be lost in hell for all eternity. It tells us in that chapter, in Luke chapter 16, it says there's a fixed gulf. No return. No chance of getting saved. No second chance. Matthew tells us of a shut door. But once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, that door will never be opened up again. Your chance for salvation will be gone. Trust tonight, dear friends, that you'll listen to his word. We trust that you'll listen as you've listened to the choir singing and the word of testimony and God's message. We trust that you'll consider these things and that you'll go in for God's offer of mercy and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.